outside a scarred up heart, inside a raging storm. The word is anger because Satan's declared a war. I'll fight this battle, Lord, 'cause you're worth fighting for. I pledge my undying love to you. You died for me. Though I live such a shameful life, your grace has set me free. So I'm honored to struggle, Lord, 'cause even in my toughest battles, you're worth fighting for.
Hello everyone, this is Chaplain Gary Rayburn of Receiving in God Ministries, and we want to thank you for listening today. Our prayer is the Lord's going to bless you for listening, and you're going to want to get a hold of some of our free CDs to share with your family and friends. So we encourage you to write to us at P.O. Box 578, Carmi, Illinois, 62821, or just give us a call at 618-383-2107, or you can log on to our website at www.rigministries.com and email us. We'd love to hear from you. Or just stop in here at 215 Industrial Avenue right here in Carmi, and you can pick up some of our free CDs to share with your family and friends. Now we encourage you to sit back, listen, enjoy today's program. Today we have the testimony of Bob Wilson, and I know you're going to enjoy Bob's testimony. Bob and his wife Stephanie are not only the owners of Les Wilson Incorporated, but they're also the founders of Receiving in God Ministries. Bob recently was invited out to California to share his testimony at a businessmen fellowship convention breakfast, and I know you're going to enjoy this testimony of Bob Wilson.
You died for me, though I live such a shameful life. Your grace has set me free, so I'm honored.
Bob Wilson is a very special guy, very unique guy, and little did he know when he got saved and started moving forward in the ministry that he would affect so many people. This is all meant because Bob got saved. And then it has a ripple effect. It just goes on and on and on. It's just getting started, by the way. And it's wonderful to be involved with this, see Jesus moving in such a powerful way. So I'll let Bob tell his story. Let's welcome Bob Wilson.
Well, thank you all for allowing me to be here. But there's really only one reason I am here. And that's Jesus Christ. He saved me and touched me, otherwise I wouldn't be here. I never dreamed that this could happen to me. And I just want to pray just a minute. I want to pray about the Holy Spirit, but I already sense His presence here. Lord Jesus, we come to You now, Lord. We love You, Lord. Thanks be to You, God, for what You've done, how You've changed us and drawn us here, Lord. We pray for a mighty outpouring of Your Holy Spirit, which is already here, just to descend on all these people and touch them, Lord. We just bless these people, bless the ones that's been here. We just give You thanks in Your holy name. Amen. Okay, I grew up in Illinois, Southern Illinois, like Gary said. It was 30 miles from Kentucky, about 30 miles from Indiana, right there in the southeast corner. Had a good upbringing, great parents. They were... I couldn't ask for a better life growing up. They loved one another and showed me a lot of love. And that's what the gentleman here said when he talked about love. And that's what it's about, being able to love everyone, not just some that you feel comfortable with, being able to love everybody. And that's when Jesus' love comes around, that's what changes everything. You know, and also in that verse when it talks about love, it talks about praying for the ones that hurt you. And I think of all the people that I heard growing up that had to pray for me. So it also, it's our turn to give that back. Remember to do that. The ones that hurt us, to be able to pray for them, because it's our turn to give it back. It's an obligation. It's an obligation. You know, we didn't get, you know, it's like a ball game. There's only a few get to play. This is different. Christianity is different. We all can play. We can all get in the game and get involved and help for His kingdom. We can get off the bench. But, my dad, my grandpa, when my dad from Oklahoma. They went down, came to Illinois in 39 in the oil field. The company's never been very big. We don't have much production. We mainly focus on drilling for other people. And that's the way it's always been. And so I grew up around this. I mean, it's what we talked about. You know, in Psalms 25:12, it talks about it's about how our kids will. Who then is a man that fears the Lord? He will spend his days in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. You know, and a lot about what this speaks about is what us as dads or leaders get excited about. Our kids will get excited about. You know, when they see what dad gets excited about, it's going to change them. I'm 60, or almost 60, and I got married again, and I got a 9 and a 13 and a 16. Well, this 13-year-old boy, I got saved 6 years ago, and he can still remember the kind of beer I drank. Now, that's the kind of impact that we have on these kids. We don't realize it, because they do watch us. And so we do, yeah. It's just, I'm just thankful I got saved, but I just didn't, you don't realize that until I hear him say that. Oh, man, it just, you know, so we they can see us fall in love with Jesus. That really helps them, give them strength, and they know that that's the way to go. Yes, but my dad, you know, he had a passion for the oil field, and I did too. He liked working with the rigs, and you know, there's a lot of, you know, when you get to the crew working together out there on a rig, it's really something. It's easy work, you enjoy it, and everybody works together. And I was always fascinated with that. I always wanted to be part of that. I can remember one day I was 13 years old, and they were shorthanded on the rig, and I'm sitting out there bawling because my dad won't let me get out there and help him. You know, I mean, I wanted to go that bad. And so when I was 14, I told him I wanted to get a job on the rig, and he said, "Well, good, go get you a job." And I thought, wow, you own the place. Now, what am I going to do now, you know? I didn't realize the protocol. I don't know if you're all familiar with the drilling rig. You've got a driller who runs the rig, and he's in charge of the crew. And they're anywhere from 4 to 5, maybe even 6-man crew. And so he told me, he said, "You just got to call them drillers and find you a job." So I got me a job. Now, you know, I wasn't allowed to say any bad words when I was growing up around my dad. He'd have whacked me. So, but I knew when I got on that rig, I'm going to have to learn how to fit in with these guys. So I go over in kind of like a garage. I start practicing cussing. You know, I thought I'm going to fit in with these guys. You know, and I really did. And so so after I became about 50 years old, I was really good at it. I could hardly say hello without saying something like that. You know, and it's just the way it affected me, but. But anyway, when I got a hold of a driller, and he said he'd hire me that summer, and I'll never forget, we sat at the dinner table, and my dad said, he said, "God is right up here, and right underneath him is the driller, and whatever he says, you're going to have to do. It don't matter what it is. Well, you got to stand there for 8 hours or what?" So I'm okay, here we go. So that's, but it really what he was talking about is submission to authority. And that's a big thing that we've got to learn too, is submit to authority. And sometimes that's hard. That's difficult. But you've got to if you're going to get anywhere. You've got to be able to support your leaders, even if they're wrong. Which is tough. But anyway, I worked on the rig, I got drafted in '68. Went to Vietnam. I got drafted in the Army, but ended up in the Seabees. I went over and I was supposed to help drill water wells, and I never saw a water well machine over there. We ended up blacktopping the roads and fixing them up, you know. That's what our deal was. And I'll never forget one night we got hit, and I was running and a mortar round went off from me about 15 feet in front of me. I was running hard. There's 5 of us. And it blew me right on my back. I just thought I was dead, you know, and I wasn't hit anywhere. Now there were several people got hit with that one mortar round, but not me. There wasn't any fatalities out of that, but there were a lot of people got shot at and were busted up, shrapnel. The next morning, this boy asked me, he said, it was the next morning, he asked me if I was saved. And I said, "Saved from what?" I'm all right. I didn't get hit, you know, and I really did not know that term. Now, we went to a Presbyterian church when I was a young boy, and that term wasn't ever talked about. I didn't understand that.
That's right.
And but I can still see that guy's face, the boy that asked me that. I can still see his face. I'd like to see him now. I don't know where he's at, but I don't remember his name, but I can remember that. You know, that's the way that is. You know, at different points in your life, people that have touched you like that, I didn't realize he was touching me, but God sent him to talk to me, you know. It just took me so long to realize what this is all about, you know. I went through a divorce in 89, and it was tough, you know. And I'd go outside and I'd talk to my grandpa, thinking what he would do, you know, what he'd think about talking to God for direction, you know. It didn't even dawn on me. And my mom had to say prayers the night we was little, you know, stuff like that. But I just didn't realize that. And so anyway, I got remarried to my wife, who's not with me today. I say it, she's not, because she brings a lot of strength to me when I'm up here.
Yes.
And so we got married, but we weren't living for Jesus. Didn't know anything about living for Jesus. We got in a mess with a company. We was out in Colorado, Greenlee, Colorado, working for HS Resources. And we had a rig working for them, and they told me they wanted another one. Well, man, here's an opportunity. Here we go. So I go borrow the money, and we put it together. And the day we get it together, they canceled the contract. So they didn't want the rig. And the times weren't that good right then, and I didn't know what to do. I mean, I was in a mess. And then the week later, they sent the other rig home that was working for them, because the gas prices dropped, and they didn't need anything. So we didn't have any way of paying that debt off. Finally, I got the rig sold, but I sold it for quite a bit less than what I had borrowed on it. But anyway, you know, we thought we was going to lose our house. I thought Grandpa started this, grandson's going to finish it. We started going to church, you know. I mean, we're still smoking and drinking and partying, but we started going to a Christian church, and we got saved, you know. Things started changing, and I can't hardly explain it. I mean, things started changing, and so the business was getting better, you know, my wife met we lived 3 miles south of town, and it's 3.5 miles around our block there. We're out in the country, and this neighbor lady wanted to come and walk with my wife. And this gal was a Christian, which we didn't know, but she didn't come with this Bible beating it over our head, you know. She lived it, and so her and my wife started this relationship of walking around the block. And she asked her if she'd ever watched Joyce Myers. And my wife comes in there one day, and I'm cooking supper, and she says, "We're going to watch Joyce Myers on TV." And I thought, oh, wow. I mean, we talked about going to church on Sunday night, and here we're going to watch Joyce Myers. You know, where are we headed? And, so I didn't know what was going on. But this gal started speaking to me. I could understand what she was saying. It was just down-to-earth stuff. I never heard it talk like this. So my wife wants to go to one of her conferences, and I really thought my wife would get to see her. I mean, it was a women's conference in St. Louis. I mean, there's, I don't know, at least 10,000 women there. I'm not sure how many is there. But then the dome was full. And my wife come back in from being at that conference. It was Saturday evening. She come back in. It was dark, and I'm home with the three kids. She walked in the back door and she had her head down. And I thought, what is wrong? You know, she talked to me, but she couldn't tell me what was wrong. It took her 2 days to tell me what was wrong. She wondered what those women had. I didn't know what they had. I didn't know. And so one day I come home early, and she was in the bathtub. Most glorious thing I've ever seen in my life. She was praying in tongues. And I didn't know what it was. I'd never seen that. It just, it was like tongues of fire was coming out of her mouth. I mean, it was, and she glowed like a bow. Oh man. So I go back in the other room, you know, of course I'm pacing back and forth, waiting for her to come out. But what's going on? What is this? You know? I didn't have a clue what was going on. And well, she came out, and she'd been afraid to tell me. She's afraid that she knew what I'd do. And of course, I didn't want to think. I said, well, do it again. She said, well, you just can't do it like that, you know? So this won't happen. I didn't know what to think. And a week after, she went and told Gayla about it, you know. And Gayla said, yeah, you've got to keep praying, just keep praying. You'll know what this is all about. So she did. And she went to the pastor at our church. It was a Christian church, and they said they don't allow it in here. And I'm thinking, now, you know, what is going on? I don't, you know, I mean, how can this, you know? So my cousin in Louisiana, he was a Baptist evangelist, and he had fell out in the spirit and started praying in tongues too. So he had to leave the Baptist ministry, and he started his own church. And so when we called him, you know, he's blood, we could trust what he said. And he told us to read the book of Acts. And so we sat down and read the book of Acts, and we started really thought we had a grip on this, you know, I mean, which we did at that time. But I mean, little did we know where we were headed, but I mean, we really thought we knew what was going on, you know. So my wife has a vision, we're going to go to a Pentecostal church. And our kids are going to go to Christian school, and I'm thinking, oh no, how are we going to do this, you know? And I thought, all my buddies at the Christian church, and I'm just now getting comfortable going on Sunday night. And so anyway, we go to the Pentecostal church, and we go to the Christian church. They had early morning service at 8 o'clock, so we go to that, go to the Sunday school, and we. It's about a mile and a half over to the Pentecostal church, Assembly of God. So we would go there. So I'm telling my cousin, he's asking how things are going. I tell him about it. He said, man, you can't do that. That's like having two wives. So I knew we had to make a choice. So we made that choice, and we went to the Assembly of God. And now, after my wife had got filled with spirit, this lady that had talked to her, on her and her husband's, she was 40. This has been 6 years, about 3-4 years ago. I can't remember the date. But anyway, on their wedding anniversary, my wife and them were, my wife and Gabriel were walking, and Daryl went by in his truck at about 6 o'clock in the morning. She always showed up about 6. And they spoke to one another, and anyway, Gayla wouldn't help. He did gutter work. He put gutters on houses. They were putting a gutter on a Baptist church that day, and she fell off that ladder and died. And so, you know, my wife lost her good friend.
Yep.
But you know, Jesus, she got through that through Jesus. But anyway. There was another, they had already planned to go to a conference in Nashville, Tennessee. And she wanted me to go. Being Gayla couldn't go. They had to, and I said, well, it's quail hunting time. It's in December. I love to hunt quail. I don't want to go, you know. And then I thought about it. And it must have been the Holy Spirit already trying. And he said, okay, I'll go. But I seen what happened to my wife. I seen the change in her, you know. So we go there, and Joyce Myers, the very last day on Saturday, she wants to know if anybody wants to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And she had me sitting down front. We were like 8 or 10 rows in the front. We've been there 2 hours early to get this seat, you know. So, I mean, all these people's up around, you know, I'm down here right now. I think I'm the star attraction, which, you know, I wouldn't. Nobody even knew I was there, you know. And I opened my hands up when she started praying, anybody's going to receive this. I got this glow in my stomach. And Joyce Meyer said, "You'll receive this glow." Wow, this stuff is surreal. You know, I never felt anything like this. I mean, and so I didn't pray in tongues then. It came a little bit later. But I got out of that place, and I've slipped up every now and then, but the dirty language is gone. You know, the desire to drink was gone. I mean, it just all took away. And I couldn't even understand it. I'll never forget, we was going home after all this. All of a sudden, me and my wife had a great time. We start fussing about where we're going to eat, where we're going to fill the car with gas, just about anything, you know. And I could not understand this. I thought, man, when you get saved and all this stuff's happening, why does this happen? So I had to call my cousin. It's the devil. It's the devil. He's trying to steal your joy, you know. And I did not understand this stuff. And I thought, man, why does this guy come into play, you know. And that's why I look at Gary, and I have to say this about Gary. Gary didn't tell you all his story. Since me and my wife started building this, how do we call it, a church or sanctuary, whatever we're doing, I mean, the devil has showed up. He was talking to me and my wife a lot of turmoil. And me and Gary was praying, you know. We'd go there to church and we'd pray in the morning. We'd pray for our situation, you know. And while we were praying for that, Gary got filled with the Spirit. I did not. I kept praying. I think, God, how come you're not hearing me? Well, then when I saw Gary, that happened to him. Well, then I knew God was hearing. He was in this all the time. And for me to think that he wasn't is so silly. You know, we live in this microwave world. We want everything right now. I've been so blessed to have this happen. You know, so anyway, I'd had this encounter, you know, and I'll never forget. We're in the Assembly of God Church. When we come out of Sunday school, I'm going up the steps to go to the sanctuary church. I hear this voice says, "You're not Pentecostal." And I thought, wow, what's that mean? You know, naturally, well, we don't belong in the church. We're supposed to leave, you know. So me and the pastor were pretty good buddies. And so I waited 2 weeks. Saturday night, 9 o'clock, I couldn't stand it no more. I called him and told him, I had to go tell him, but I went to his house. He said, "Well, you're just not filled with the Spirit yet." And I said, "Well, what was all this other stuff about? You know, I don't understand, you know." So, you know, the next day he had an altar call for anybody who wanted to receive the baptism. Of course, naturally, I went down there, but, I wasn't praying in tongues yet. And, you know, they prayed for us so many times before this, I felt like, oh, well, what am I going for, you know? I mean, I'm just going to make them happy or what? But it's all in God's timing when this happens. You know, it's all in His timing. It's not my timing. I can't push it. You can't push it. But it's His timing. So, they had me crying so hard. Not they didn't have me crying so hard. Jesus did. I was being overbought. I mean, and I didn't know what was going on. And we went to get in the car to go eat. My wife said, "What's wrong?" I said, "I don't know. I feel great though, but I don't know. I don't know what all this process was happening. I didn't understand it, you know. But I felt good." So, they have a. A couple of weeks later, he was preaching in another town. And he wanted us to go for the evening service and just kind of support him. So we said we would go. And he wanted people to come down in front and worship, you know. And so we did. And man, all of a sudden, I look up and here's this tall, refined oak tree. I mean, it's like a refined piece of wood, but it's oak and it goes way up there, you know. And I hear this voice that says, "You come and be with me." And that's when it come out. The tongues come out then. I'll never forget that day. His voice said, "You come and be with me." And he's been with me ever since. But sometimes I get the question whether he's here or not. And I don't know how. I've got to go back and remember where this all happened, you know, because I know if he told me what all he had planned out for us then, I'd have, whoa. This ain't gonna work. I can't do this, you know. But it's just always been a little bit at a time, and that's the way it's happened. But after I got filled with the Spirit, my dad had Alzheimer's, And my mom was blind. She had macular degeneration. She'd been blind for 10 years. And it was tough on her. But my dad, you know, we tried to keep him home. And we did. But he was in, right before he got in diapers, boy, he'd had a mess in his pants. And he got up. She had white carpet in the house. And he strung it over the house. My mom called me. She was bawling. And so I go over there and help him clean it up, you know. Now, my mom smoked, and she was blind. And we after she was blind, she kind of became bitter. I loved her, but she became a little bit bitter. You know, it's hard to deal with her sometimes. So sometimes I would stay away just because of that, you know. But anyway, after we got this cleaned up, she came up to me and said, "Bob, would you pray for me?" I was almost shocked. You know, my mom was asking me to pray for her. She'd always prayed for me. So I started praying for her, and I ended up praying in the Spirit. And she put her hand on my belly, and she said, "This is where this is coming from, isn't it, Bob?" I said, "Oh, yeah." And so, you know, I forget the scripture, but out of your belly, I've got to call her.
John 7:37.
Amen. Thank you. I got it wrote down here, but I can't even find it. But anyway, that's so what happened after that? Every day, her and I prayed together daily, every day. She would either call me or I would call her or some way. But some way or another, we made contact and had prayer every day. She died about a year later. She had a stroke. And I went into town just to pick up my daughter at softball practice on a Sunday afternoon. And I thought, well, I'll go by and see my mom. And she'd had trouble. They'd already called the ambulance. And so I got to the house. The ambulance was there. And she knew I was there. She knew my dad was there. My sister just happened to call right at that time before she lost conscious. So she knew we were all with her. But we took her to the local hospital, my mom had a strong heart. So I didn't know how long this would go on, and I wouldn't. I knew if we went to the hospital, it was probably going to be all night, you know. We took her to the local hospital, and then they wanted to take her to another town, Evansville, Indiana, which is a much larger town and better doctors. After we loaded her up in the ambulance to go, my sister lives over there close, so she was going to meet him over there, and I was going to go home and get some better clothes on. I knew I was going to have to spend the night there. But on the way over there, I hear this voice says, "Pray for her and surrender her life to me." I'm thinking, wow. So we get over there, and my mom's there, but she never gained conscious, you know. And so I get there, my sister and my wife and her brother, we prayed, and I surrendered my mom's life to the Lord. As soon as I said that, her head just fell over and rested. That was it. As soon as I finished talking, that was it. I mean, the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to touch you and tell you what to do. You know, I'm just so thankful, and I just pray that I'll have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is telling me, because this is what it's all about. It's so powerful what can happen here. When my dad passed away, he was laying there, and he'd had the Alzheimer's. He was in the nursing home, and he'd had a heart attack. And the nurse told me, he said, "There's no reason why he's still here. We can't figure it out." My sister said, "You go pray for your dad." So I went in there and prayed for him. I never told my dad what had happened to me, because at this time he had Alzheimer's, and it wouldn't have made, you know, I don't. Anyway, I probably should have, but I didn't. But anyway, I went in there and we prayed for my dad. Just simply praying for him while he went home too. And it's just the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to do these things. I got to tell you something funny about my dad. As soon as he got pastor, he told me, he said, "Well," I said, "I'm worried about my dad being right with the Lord. I just wanted to make sure. I knew he already was, but I wanted to make sure." And so his name was Jim Pleaser, and he came out of the office one day. My dad just was there. And I said, "Hey, come on back here." I said, "I want you to pray for my dad." And he would start the prayer, you know, you take Jesus to be your Savior and all this. My dad, about time to get through, my dad just started looking up and all this, or get up or something, you know. And the third time Jim went through it, my dad said, "Well, HS I do." And old please, when he fell out on the floor laughing, you know. I look back at, my dad got tired of hearing it. I said, "It's over with. That's one. I'm saved. Yeah, it's okay. Let's go with the next thing," you know. And I look back. I remember my dad told me as a young boy, he said, me and your mother made a vow that we would never go to bed angry. We would never let the sun set on our anger. And I'd always heard that. Until I got saved, I thought they made that up. I really thought that was something they dreamed up, you know. So I know my dad had a lot of biblical principles in the way he conducted business. And one other thing, as businessmen, I can remember, and it'll help the leaders. And what he was thinking was, the tool pusher on a drilling rig is like the supervisor of a drilling rig. And it runs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the tool pusher's on call all the time. Now, he may be home in the middle of the day, or he may be out the rig all night. He just doesn't know when he's going to have to be called to duty. And so they get a credit card, buy their gas and all that stuff. And he'd always said this to let the tool pushers buy the gas for their wives, stuff like that. And that was, if you don't, they're going to steal it. Now, they were paid good, but what he meant was, it's just like, the way I look at this, it's like if you do something to cause your brother to stumble, you're just as guilty as he is. Now, he was setting, having this, I don't mean everybody needs to do that, but that, for that situation, that's what needed to be done. And he was trying to keep from setting that man up for being in trouble. Because, you know, once you start something, it's hard to go back. And I just had to say that, but that's one of the, my dad, he was a disciplinarian. I think I had an uncanny ability to make him mad. I really could. So we really had some battles when we first got Alzheimer's. I mean, we got squared off, we were swinging one another. But I would tell him something, and he came back an hour later and say I didn't tell him. I didn't know about Alzheimer's. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know. Once I realized he was forgetting, it was okay. But I kept thinking he was questioning my judgment. And naturally, you know, that's where I'm saved. Pride set in, and you know, I'm doing right, you know, you're the one messed up. But, you know, little did I know that he was having trouble. But God forgive me for that. But you know, my wife told us that our kids were going to go to the Christian school, you know, that was a big deal. Now, the boys are pretty good athletes, and they're going to give up the local sports because the school's not that big. They have sports, but they're going to give it up. But the boys wanted to go. So they go. Now, our daughter then was in the 8th grade, and they interviewed her. She was in the 7th grade. They interviewed her, and they interviewed us, me and Stephanie, my wife, to see if we were worthy of our kids even going to Christian school. Man, I thought that was really something, you know, to see if we're even worthy. But they wanted to know what the home life was like for those kids, which was a good thing. And so my daughter, I didn't think she was ready to come yet, and that was okay. So she was a starter in softball and basketball and baseball. And right after basketball was over with, right before volleyball started, they played volleyball in the spring. She was in the 8th grade, and I'd always take her to school. And my wife took the boys. My wife forced the Christian school. She took the boys there. And sometimes I'd let my daughter drive to the bridge in the country just to kind of, you know, help her out. And this one week there, she was not saying much to me at all. I mean, and so I let her drive, but she wouldn't even talk to me. I couldn't figure out what is going on with her, you know. I didn't know what was going on. Well, Friday afternoon, I found out what was going on. She had seen my cousin, who's a pastor in Louisiana. Him and his wife were virgins when they got married. And that wasn't a term we ever used very much in our house. But she saw the power that these people had in their marriage. So she went to the Christian, the public school got out at noon that day. She went out to Christian school and hung out with her mom. She called me that afternoon. She said, "Dan, I'm going to Christian school." Oh, man. And she said, "I'm so afraid. If I don't get out of the public school, I'm going to stay pure for my marriage. And I want this environment to be in." Now, me and her mother did not pressure her one bit. She'd been filled with the Spirit. She knew the right path. She made that choice on her own. And I'm so thankful for that. I don't mean that I'm not trying to tell you where to put your kids in school. I'm not doing that. But I could saw what it did with my family and how it has changed my family. You know, I'll get back here to the work. You know, the work was when we started going to church and things, the work was getting better. And we could see some opportunities. And I told my wife, I said, "Nah, this is it. We're going to stay just like we're at. We're not going to grow. We're not going to get in trouble no more. You know, we're living right. Things are going to be okay." Well, he was 6 years old. Now, my wife was taking birth control pills when he was born. So, you know, I think God had a plan for this boy. Well, he's got a plan for all of us. But anyway, he was 6 years old in that school in the mornings before they have a chapel, and then they have sword drills, and they'll ask Bible questions. Now, the parable in the Bible about the men with three talents, one had 10, one had 5, one had 2. Well, the meaning of that I feel about it was, you know, don't be complacent. Don't be complacent. So, I had been probably a week and I told my wife that's what we was going to do. Well, here she comes home telling me this about, they ask this question in the Bible, and here Reed knew the answer to it. He couldn't even read, and he was competing with kids from kindergarten to seniors in high school. And he's the one in that school knew the answer. So she came home, and I felt like, wow, the Holy Spirit is talking to us. You know, we better pay attention. So I knew if we're going to do something different, we're going to do it God's way. So I go to church in the mornings, and the pastor gave me a key. And I told him I wanted to go there. He let me in. I went early in the mornings. Nobody's there. And I went two or three mornings. He went to Christian school early one morning. But this one morning in the Assembly of God church there, it was like, I didn't know what, I told everybody I was in a trance, I guess. I don't know what happened. I mean, I got up, and it was a vision that he'd showed me. And he said, "I'm going to be the fourth leg in your company. Now let's go get it." So I realized then that I need to go to the bank and see if they'll loan some money and help us out. There wasn't a bank in town that would help us. We had never stiffed anybody, but the oil business had been up and down so many times that the banks there in town were very, you know, they just didn't want to mess with it. Something what I was trying to do was as big as what I was trying to do. So I had the heart. I had to go find a bank that would help us, which I did. And I got that done. But you know, when you let God get in things, things start to happen. A year later, there was four banks that came to our office trying to get our business because they saw what was going on. And, you know, I'm just so thankful for what happened and how he has changed that. You know, I mean, tithing, I can't say enough good things about tithing. You know, I'll never forget, we were adding on to redoing our house, and we'd use some company assets to help build the house. You know, I mean, we got a backhoe and a cat and stuff like that. And the Lord spoke to him. He said, "That's okay if you'll tithe on that." I'm okay. So that's what I'll do. So I'll tithe on that. So I did. The same Sunday I tithed on that, me and my wife had been to, just I kind of back up a little bit. Me and my daughter was playing softball in the summer on the Nashville, and they went to Brownsville, Texas to play. And at nighttime, a lot of the parents would be drinking with the coach, you know. And here me and my wife was in our little room, you know. We weren't part of that no more. And so it's kind of, it's a little bit tough, you know. But we come back, and we're sitting in church. The day we tithed all that, and after that happened, the Lord sort of showed our obedience to him. I was sitting in there, and I thought, what's that smell? You know, know, and I thought, I looked around and see who's behind me or anything, saw somebody might have raised their arm or something, you know. It's just the sweetest smell I'd ever smelled in my life. I didn't know what was going on. And then about 10 minutes later, it came again. And I heard somebody say something about the sweet smell of Jesus, but I hadn't paid any attention to it. It didn't even dawn on me. And me and my wife went to eat. And she said, "Did you smell that smell?" I thought, "Oh, wow, I did, you know." The pastor's son went home with us that day to play with our son. He came out and picked him up. And I knew then what it was. As soon as I said it, I just started bawling. He started crying. You know, I mean, to have the sweet smell of Jesus come around you like that is just something. I give him praise. You know, we got to tell about these things. To help other people. See, he's out there wanting to help every one of us. Every one of us. But the pastor, him and I were good friends. He was from Michigan, and I'd worked up there. And he started a prayer service in the month of, I forget what month it was, I don't know. Whenever they do the Daniel fast, the women do the Daniel fast. I don't remember what part of the year that is. The women did that, so the men are going to want to fast one day a week and go to the church in the mornings from 5 to 6. And we did this for almost a month, I believe is what it was. And after that was over with, well, you know, you get used to waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, you know, I told the pastor, I said, "Man, I don't feel right about this." I said, "Yeah, after we stopped this," he said, "well, I still been going, you know." And so he said, "I'll tell you what," he said, "just come up, I'm coming to my house, the light's on, pick me up if it isn't going in there." So we did that every day for a year. Every day for a year. Now, is Jesus Christ doing this? Now, but what that set up, the pastor since moved, and we changed churches, but anyway, I've had three different times. Two times I was in the hospital, but nothing serious, but I was in the hospital, and it was something to do with my heart, but I'm okay. Every time I had something like this, he has called me. He didn't know I was in there. Nobody called and told him. The Holy Spirit told him I was in there. Now, you know, I mean, people can call all this stuff coincidences, but it is really not. It's the Holy Spirit talking to us and giving us strength. And then he was just obedient, and he called me. So it is a powerful relationship that him and I developed. And I'm so thankful for that. It's been good, you know. I was trying to touch these guys in the all field with what had happened to me, and I got one of these all field Bibles. There's a Christian all field fellowship that goes on in Houston, Texas, and they send out these all field Bibles, and I got one. I'm like, wow, they singled me out again. I got one, nobody else did. You know? So I got this Bible, and so I called him, and I got a whole bunch more, and I started to giving them out to guys and trying to touch them. It's a neat tool. I had a good friend that I used to, he's kind of like a mentor to me. He's older than I am. He knows a lot of pieces of the drilling rigs and about fixing them and everything. So I used to drink with him and party with him. He came up to our part of the country one day. He was working on one of the pumps. And he kept asking me to come out with him and eat with him at night. I wouldn't do it, you know. And I'd always tell him I was busy. You know, I just couldn't. So I threw that Bible in his truck. Well, the next day he came to work and he said, "Did you throw that book in there?" I said, "Yes, I did." And that opened the door. I was able to tell him. You know, I mean, the all field is a dark place. I mean, it really is. I mean, there's a lot of other places. There's a lot of other darknesses. I mean, the all field, when I grew up in it and I saw how it was a dark place, you know. And the thing that I've been amazed about this is, I know I don't feel a lot of you are squirreling or not, you know, but when you go out in the woods and you sit there and, you know, you don't see a squirrel, and all of a sudden you start seeing them, you know. It's just like you become a Christian. You go back and you can see these guys. You couldn't ever see them before. You know, you couldn't ever see one of them. But, boy, it just, you know, I remember Ray Sharp, he came to our office. I didn't know him. He came, he talked about drilling a well, and, you know, I didn't know Ray. I didn't know he was a minister. I didn't know, you know. I thought I was the only one sold out in the all field of Christianity. and So he came there and I asked him if he would defend him if I'd give him one of these oil-filled Bibles. Well, wow. That's what broke the ice right there. But that Bible, we were able to give him. Then little did I know he was a missionary to China and all that, you know. So it's through him that's helped me get hooked up with this business and fellowship. But and I'm thankful for that. I'm kind of forget where I'm at here, but it's been an awesome ride. And but with these Bibles, we were giving them out, but it just didn't seem like I was getting away. Here comes Gary Rayburn, you know. I mean, you can see, you know, it's just like some of these people got that Jesus smile, you know. I mean, that's just what he was all about. He's out there with all these guys and doing his job and everything, but you know, I wasn't getting out any farther than what I already had. And so when Gary showed up, you know, it brought strength. It brought strength. And God put this team together, you know. I mean, it's amazing the steps, the paths that it's taken. You know, just like he was talking about, we got this church in the yard. But what happened, this one boy was in there, Tom Hedges, his name, and I'd always had a heart for him, but he'd always been in trouble with drugs and everything. He couldn't stay out of trouble. And I gave him one of them Bibles one day, and he said, "I got a problem with that." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, my brother and his wife and two kids were killed in a head-on car crash, and he was a pastor." And I said, well, I'm not. You know where they're at. I said, I'm worried about where you're going. Now, that's the Holy Spirit. That's not Bob Wilson talking. That's the Holy Spirit talking, saying that. Because I'd have never come up with nothing like that before. So, anyway, we took him to, about 2-3 weeks later, we're out in the yard. And there's quite a few guys working around there putting this rig together. And I look at him and ask him, I said, "What's going on with you, Tom?" He just kind of didn't say nothing. I said, "Your salvation means more to me than all this iron and dirt." And he started crying. He came over and we started hugging. We're both crying. The guys out there think we're nuts, I thought. You know, that's what the dude's doing. So we asked him if he wanted to go to church. And Orchardville had church on Saturday night. So we took him up to Orchardville Church. I could see something was working on him. The Holy Spirit was working on him. But he didn't want to go to the altar. So, but the Monday when he came to work, well, he was changed. He cut his hair. I mean, he had that Jesus smile. He was happy. So he lost his license. He didn't have a way to work. So we'd keep track of him and check to see if anybody took him. There was two Sundays in a row he didn't get to go. And I was just driving by and he was walking and rolled down the window and he told me that. And I said, "I'll tell you what, we'll just have church here today." And I drove off and I thought, "Bob Wilson, what did you just say? I mean, how are you going to pull this off?" You know. And so I went to my office and my wife had got me this dad's Bible. And it's got a lot of good stories and analogies in it. So we started out with that. And it's been going on ever since. And I'm so thankful for Os Hillman and what he's doing. Because what we do, we take his message every day. And that's what we use to study about. Now, we don't have a big crowd there, but we do have a crowd. And it is there every day. And, you know, and Os Hillman was right on. I'll never forget. I've got an older son that's, he's 31. And I'll never forget this day. He called me that morning. I was up there at Ray Sharp's well that we were working on for him. And he called me that morning. He said, "Bob, I'm He said, "Dad, I'm going to come back to work." And I thought, wow, this is great. He was down in Louisiana working. And I was ready. I get back up the yard, getting ready to have a 12:30 service. We hit 7:30 minutes, so people it doesn't interact with their lunch hour. They can sure come up to 30 minutes to do this. The message that day was on the prodigal son. There's been so many days where his message has been right on tune with what's going on in somebody's life. I mean, it's just the power of the Holy Spirit that touches this. And, you know, so my son, he's been working there, and I know Jesus is working on him. And he's working on him. You can see it. And I'm so thankful for that. The rig went out, so we ended up buying this building. We bought it for a shop. It wouldn't fit for a shop. I mean, I can't believe we didn't check it out better than that. The ceiling wasn't tall enough. And the rig went out, so, well, okay, we'll just go over here and have church. So we were using this building. That's what we built, a sanctuary. My kids, two of my kids, and had visions that we would have church in the shop. And I'd always felt that the kids had had visions of that. So this was the shop, and this is what we're going to do. I'll never forget this day. I wanted the rig, and they were short of, well, not short. I used to like to drive one of the trucks to move the rig. I like to be involved with that. And I'm going down the road, and I'm just crying. I get the worship team, and I got music going. And I told the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, I'll put a picture of I'll put a picture of all field workers around the building inside. He said, no. He said, you put a picture. If you put a picture of one off-field worker, you got to put a picture of every worker there is. This is for everyone. This isn't just for the off-field. I know we're on the right path with what we're doing. We've had to slow down the construction because the work's got slow. But I know God's got a plan.
Yes.
And I just got to be ready to act whenever He wants me to. If He had told me this to start with, I'd have went the other way. Well, but he don't want to tell me more what he needs to. I know, but he's probably afraid of what I do. So I'm just so thankful for what Jesus Christ has done in my life and the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's just amazing what can happen. You know, I got to tell you this one other little story real quick here. But IHOP, has any of you ever been to IHOP?
Yeah.
Okay. Our pastor in our church wanted to take the men there. And I'd been there once before, and I didn't know what was going on. I couldn't figure it out, you know. But anyway, so we go back again. It was last weekend. We get there on Friday night. I just had visions. We're going to go up there at the altar, and we're going to worship and pray, and we're going to hear from God. We've been there about 2 hours, and the guys that went with, all their heads are falling down, you know. Golly, I'm thinking we're supposed to do this all night. What's going on here, you know? So I didn't, you know. And we go to bed, we get up early, we go back in there, and we have to go home that night. And we get home about 1 o'clock in the morning, and the next morning we have church. Our pastor stayed with some of the men there, so I go to church, you know. But that day before we did on Saturday, we ate dinner with one of the pastors there, and he described what was going on with IHOP. You know, he said, you got to send out the Air Force to be able to soften the ground for the evangelists to come in, and then all as a family will come together for the kingdom to win the lost, to bring them in. And he was right. So I go to church, and this pastor, she says the very same thing that he did. I mean, almost word for word. I interrupted her in her sermon. I said, did you talk to Steve, Pastor Steve, since yesterday? Nope, I hadn't talked to him. Boy, I just got chills all over me, because she was just saying, you know, and it's so true. That's just what it is. You know, we've got to pray. We have got to pray. Yeah. We've got to pray. We've got to soften the ground. We've got to get it ready. We've got to get it ready. Because time's running out. But then, so the pastor after the service, I said, what happened? How did you know to say that? She said, well, I had it already planned out. That morning I was getting ready. The Holy Spirit told me to go a different way. And that's how it came out. So, I mean, that's just some of the things that's happened in my life. I know we all got a duty to tell what's happened. I mean, we do, because there's a lot of hurting people out there. There's a lot of hurting Christians out there. And, you know, and the other thing that I found out, we went to the Joyce Meyer's conference in Winston-Salem here about 3 weeks ago. And the thing is, she said only 13% of the Christians believe in this whole Bible. And that's not very many. That's not very many. So, you know, this is where a lot of them don't believe in what we're talking about here. But I do. And I can see that most of you here do too. And it's amazing. I mean, and I'm so thankful. And I'm so thankful for what these guys are doing here, including me in.
Yes.
I'm out. Got to see Bob when he pulls in with his big red truck on one of these plays where they're drilling for oil. Boy, the guys all know the boss is there. There's something to be said. We found Bob, Ray had heard about him 3 years ago when we were planning to go into the oil business. I was fishing around on the internet, and I came on to a page in the St. Louis Dispatch in Google, I think it was, and I said, "Ray, there's a guy out there in Illinois who's building this $5 million rig. I believe that's what he's going to be our man." And it turned out he was. So thank you for that, Lord. Let's close with one. You want to hear Joe on one more time? And then we don't want to let this guy go. It's been a wonderful morning. Praise God.
I would like to do a song for the military. Does anyone have a child that's in the military? Amen. I think we forget the people who are at home because they give the sacrifice. You know, our God gave His Son, the greatest sacrifice. And I'm praying that God will send them home. And this is a song I don't have recorded yet, but it's called Wings of Angels. I pray God send them home on Wings of Angels.
There's a man who stands on the front line, standing for his Lord Jesus Christ, and waving his banner of freedom, and willing to give up his life. He left his home in West Virginia, heading for hell in Iraq. His daddy told him, "Son, you'll find within you what you're gonna need to get back. And I'm gonna send a ride on wings of angels to carry you back home to the family. I'm gonna send a ride on wings of angels. Well, son, I love you, and home's where you need to be." There was a man on the cross in Jerusalem, hanging for some religious crime. His daddy told him, "Son, I'm gonna raise you up from the grave into the sky. And I'm gonna send a ride on wings of angels to carry you back home to the family. Well, I'm gonna send a ride on wings of angels. Son, I love you, and home's where you need to be." You know, a boy just can't outrun his daddy's love, and the world can't come between a man and his son. And daddy's just like me, we all understand, and we'd walk through hell to take him by the hand. And we're gonna send a ride on wings of angels to carry you back home to the family. We're gonna send a ride on wings of angels. But son, I love you, and home's where you need to be. But son, I love you, and home's where you need to be.
Friends, we hope you enjoyed today's message, and we'd love to hear from you. You can write to us, call us, or log on to our website and email us. Our phone number is 618-383-2107, or you can write to us at P.O. Box 578, Carmi, Illinois 62821, or log on to our website and email us at www.rigministries.com. And remember, Jesus loves you, and we do too. And this is Chaplain Gary Rayburn, and we'll talk at you later.
I saw Jesus.